Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take up your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we praise you for the word you have given to us, how precious it is to us. We ask you would open up our hearts that we may put that word in our hearts, firmly establishing it, that we may know what your commands are, that we may honor and glorify your name, to live a holy and righteous life. Bless this time together, Father, for we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today's sermon I've entitled, Be Prepared, Arm Yourself. Today, the 4th of July, Independence Day, the stars and stripes fly over every state, city, and town in this nation. We celebrate freedom. We have a freedom that no other country in the world can offer its citizens. And that freedom started 234 years ago, in July of 1776, when the Congress of a new nation issued the Declaration of Independence. 13 small colonies joined together to become the United States of America. The states then issued this declaration because they determined that the acts of tyranny by the British monarchy could no longer be tolerated. The American Revolutionary War had already started, and it would end only in 1783, 7 years after the Declaration of Independence was issued. It cost the lives of 25,000 Americans. That's in a population of only 2.5 million people. That's a little less than 1% of the total population. And the only other war that we've been in that had a greater loss compared to the population was the Civil War. You have heard the saying, freedom is not free. How true that is. Since then, Americans have fought valiantly for freedom here in the U.S. and overseas. Today, we have the strongest military in the world. We have the best trained and best equipped soldiers in human history to ensure continued freedom for us. Now, let us consider the freedom we have as Christians. We were chained to sin with links that were forged in the Garden of Eden. Those iron links were forged by the sin of disobedience committed by our first parents, Adam and Eve. That chain was clamped around our ankles by Satan. And for 4,000 years after that shameful event, no human being was able to break that chain. Every human since that time has been burdened with an inheritance that binds them and us to Satan. But in 33 AD, one man came. And because of whom he was and what he did, he severed those chains on the elect of God. He did it at a cost that cannot be measured. It was a cost that all the treasures in the world from the beginning time until now could not cover. Gold, silver, precious stones would be nothing. He paid the price for our freedom. And he broke the chain that Satan had around us. He gave us our spiritual freedom. He is Jesus Christ, the man from heaven. He was a man without sin from the moment he was born until the day he died. The freedom he obtained for us cost him greatly. And what was the cost? He left his throne in heaven beside the Father. He laid aside the glory that was his before he came a man. He who was over the angels was made a little lower than the angels. He who created man was made a man. He himself suffered when he was tempted. Hebrews 2:18. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he's able to help those who are tempted. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus said to his disciples, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." Matthew 26:38. He was willingly nailed to a cross, offering up his body and shedding his blood. Then he suffered death for the elect. He truly gave us freedom at a great, great cost. Now the freedom we enjoy as Christians has a cost to us too. Now that may sound a little bit blasphemous, but it does. It is a cost related to maintaining that freedom. Now we cannot ever lose it, but we do have to maintain it. Satan, who originally put those chains on us, will try to turn us away from Christ. We can see this in Scripture with Peter and Satan. Peter, eager to follow Jesus anywhere, at any time, said after the Lord's Supper, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And of course, all the other disciples said the same thing. That's in Matthew 26:35. Jesus said to Peter, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail, and when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." It's in Luke 22:31. He stood in his own strength at that time, human strength, but it failed. He failed because he did not rely and trust God for it. He was employing human strength to stand against spiritual powers. And Jesus intervened with prayer. After Peter's denial, he saw the Lord when he was under arrest and remembered the words the Lord had said to him. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Peter denied the Lord, yes, but his faith did not fail. And Satan lost that skirmish. Because of the mighty power of the Lord, Peter did stand strong after the denials, even to the point of being crucified for his faith in Christ. Last Sunday we looked at Scripture, Psalm 119, and recognized that it is critical to make God's Word the center of our lives. The writer of Psalm 119 overcame persecution, harassment, and sin, and he endured, all because of a love he had in his heart for God. What we learned then was preparation for the next phase. That was boot camp. The next step in a Christian's training is in Ephesians 6:10. It says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and His mighty power." Now we become soldiers. Paul says in Scripture, "Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus." No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. That's 2 Timothy 2:3 and 4. Our commanding officer, every Christian's commanding officer, is Jesus Christ. You and I are soldiers in a battle that began in the Garden of Eden and still going on against Satan and his demons. We are to stand strong against Satan's schemes and attacks using the full armor of God. That's in Ephesians 6:11. Now, God has a strategy for the Christian soldier that will enable you and I to stand strong. And there are two tactics in God's strategy. The first tactic is found in Ephesians 6:12. "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Tactic one, know who and what you are fighting against. In this tactic one, we'll look at three parts in the tactic. A, we fight against the devil. First and foremost, he is the main enemy. Now, the devil is a spirit, very, very wicked spirit. The danger to us is greater when we stand against an unseen enemy. The devil can assault us at any time without us being fully aware of its beginning. Our enemy is so strong that no human power can stand against it or his demons. Our difficulties are far greater than if we had to fight men with flesh and blood. If that were so, we could resist him with human strength. Force is met by force, human skill by human skill. But our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It is not against ordinary human enemies. Our battle is against evil angels, unseen beings with great power. Satan is the leader of his kingdom. He leads the demons in his kingdom and His kingdom is in this world. These are the spiritual forces in the heavenly realms, in the air. He's the kingdom in the air. Scripture says that our struggle is against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world. Now let's look at the second part. B. We fight against spiritual evil in the nations and peoples of this world. Most scholars believe that this is a reference to the heathen nations and peoples of the world, where Satan's influence is greatest. And we see great participation in the occult today. False religions are in every country. Satan worship is being practiced out in the open. The evil desires of men and women, men with men, women with women, are being legalized. Consideration is being given to euthanizing the old to make life better for the young. Unbelief and ignorance of God is commonplace. Now, looking at the world today, it seems that there is no nation or people as a whole who follow Christ, and that includes the United States. There's no doubt in my mind that the devil is working his schemes throughout the world today. We can especially see this in Europe, where Christianity is disappearing and evil is propagating. Knowing what you are fighting against is important. This leads us to the third part. C. Be aware of the nature of the devil. He will lead us into sin unless we are knowledgeable about his methods. Now, Satan's kingdom is one of darkness. His intent is to hide the light of God from all people. Satan's angels are very subtle in how they try to turn us from God. Now, he's not called the serpent for nothing. Even the names he has, devil and Satan, deception, liar. And he is very, very skilled in the art of deception and temptation. Satan and his angels assault us in the things that belong to our soul. Those are the things that are dearest to our hearts. Casting doubts about family and friends, about the Word of God, about our faith, about what really is sinful, and so forth. Scripture says, be self-controlled and alert, because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. How true this is in China and India and Africa, nations that are truly heathen, yet there are Christians. Many of them have to go underground and suffer. That's in 1 Peter 5:8-9. You know, it's very dangerous to think that because we don't see spiritual beings, that there is little or no danger to us. Satan is a powerful spiritual being. He is cunning, he is deceitful, and he's a liar. You and I must always be vigilant. Now, you can stand strong in the Lord and in His mighty power when we understand that our fight is not against human flesh and blood. It's against spiritual powers, spiritual beings that we do not see. So, where are we? We looked at tactic one. Know who and what you are fighting against. Don't underestimate them. We can stand strong in the Lord and His mighty power when we understand that our fight is against spiritual powers. Now, the second tactic enabling us to stand strong against Satan is found in verses 13 to 18. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Tactic 2. Know how to protect yourself. Earlier I had said that the best trained and best equipped soldiers in the human history are the U.S. troops. Our troops in Iraq are equipped to give them the edge over the enemy. Their armor is the best. Helmets made with multiple layers of Kevlar to protect the head from shrapnel. Now, this material is so strong that I used to use it in prisons and in police stations to protect officers. It's a very strong material that the Army uses in the helmets. Knee pads. You wouldn't think that. Something like this, but it protects them against impacts. When they drop to the ground, if they're attacked, night vision goggles that enhance vision in the dark. Kevlar, again, bullet material. Kevlar vest body armor protecting against shrapnel, pistol rounds, and even some rifle rounds. A protective mask for chemical and biological threats. Combat boots. These are really good. Leather, water resistant, outer garments with camouflage, desert camouflage, and assault weapons from M16A2 rifles to M429 machine guns to Javelin anti-tank missiles. They have it all available to them. They are well equipped for flesh and blood enemies. But for spiritual warfare, it won't work. For spiritual warfare, we need spiritual protection. Paul tells the Ephesians to put on the full armor of God. God is our strength. But His strength can only be appropriated through obedience. We have to put on the armor before we can fight, and before we can stand firm. Now, the first piece of armor is in verse 14, A, the belt of truth around your waist. Now, to put this in proper perspective, we have to go back to Paul's time and the armor of the Roman soldiers. In ancient times, the soldiers generally wore a one-piece garment, a tunic, with three holes, a head and two arms. And it was kind of loose. Now, if they went into battle that way, they were at a great disadvantage because they could trip over it. They couldn't maneuver properly. Their weapons would get caught. So what they did was they put a belt around them, tightened up the garments, and they lifted the tunic up above their knees and tucked it into their belt. It was essential that they did that so it wouldn't interfere with hand-to-hand combat. Now, truth, the belt of truth, truth is found in Scripture. The truth about who God is, the truth about the evil nature of man, the truth about the only way of salvation, the truth about the Christian's battle, and the truth about who Satan is and what he did. Truth, that's the nature and content of God's Word. Pilate once made a statement, "What is truth?" See, Jesus was before Pilate, and Pilate, after questioning Jesus, Jesus said, or Pilate said, "You are a king then." Because Jesus said that. And Pilate said, "You are a king then." And Jesus responded, "You are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born. And for this I came into the world to testify of the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." That's when Pilate responded with, "Well, what's truth?" There are so many times in Scripture when Jesus said, "I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth." And then states the truth about a spiritual matter. 1 Timothy 4:1 says, "The Spirit clearly says that in latter times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons." They'll abandon the faith. They'll abandon the Word of God. They'll abandon Christ and listen to demons who will tell them lies and deceptive things. And we can see this in the various cults and false religions today. Satan is a liar. He will try to pervert the truth. The full truth of the Word must be in your heart. In order for any believer to stand firm in the power of God, he must be fully immersed in the Word of God, in God's truth. And he must put it around his belt, his waist, like a belt, like the Roman soldier. And then he will be able to stand partially. The second piece of armor is in verse 14, the breastplate of righteousness. In the Roman army, the soldier wore a breastplate of leather. It was around, wrapped around here, and over that were layered pieces of metal fastened to the breastplate. And they were either metal and sometimes even horse's hooves or animal hoofs, which are very tough. The reason he wore this was if they were in close combat and somebody used a knife or a short spear, it would protect his vital organs. Now Satan will try to attack two of our vital organs, our spiritual organs, your mind and your emotions. He will cast doubt about your standing in Christ. He can fog up our mind with false doctrine. Anything to pervert God's Word. This he does to mislead us. He did this to Adam and Eve. Emotions. Envy, hate, mistrust are fired up, and it leads us to sin. The breastplate of righteousness is none other than a blameless life. A blameless life means living with integrity. It means being sound in the faith. It means living a holy life in accordance with God's word. King David knew this. But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. For surely, O Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. Psalm 5:11-12. Wearing the breastplate of righteousness will enable you and I to stand strong in the Lord and His mighty power. Now the third piece of armor is in verse 15. See, fitted shoes on your feet that enable you to be ready. Now this may sound a little strange to someone reading it first time, but you know, a soldier without boots is one that is severely limited in how he can react to an attack. Attack comes, he's not ready. He's got to get his boots on. He's got to tie them up. If he leaves his boots there and goes out in response to the attack, he's hindered severely. His feet are subject to cuts and bruises. His mind becomes concerned with his feet rather than the attack. He cannot react quickly and safely. Now, when we have doubts about what is right and what is wrong, we hesitate to react. Knowing what is right and what is wrong enables us to quickly identify the subtleties of Satan's scheme. This verse also tells us to be in readiness with the gospel of peace. Now many believe that they're talking about preaching the word of God and preaching peace. But that's not what the context here is. The gospel of peace applies to the believer. It means he lives not in turmoil or confusion, but in peace. You know, if you're upset, if you're stressed out, when you have to react, your reactions are so slow. When you're in anger, you choose the wrong way many times. We have to have our minds in peace. Now, living in peace with God. Peace in our minds and peace in our hearts. Now, with peace in Christ comes the ability to react to attacks quickly and without hesitation. With our feet shod with the readiness of the gospel of peace, we can stand strong in the mighty power of God. The fourth piece of armor is in verse 16. D. Take up the shield of faith. Scripture tells us that with this shield we can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Now, I've shot a bow, an arrow, archery, and an arrow is quick, and many times if you have a powerful enough bow, you can't even see it traveling. And if you're good, you hit your target every time. Satan is like that. He knows what he's doing. He'll send attacks at you quick and fast. And arrows can come quickly at any time. One of the pieces of armor that the Roman soldier carried was a full-height shield and a full-width shield. It protected him fully from head to toe and side to side. The soldiers that carried this were at the front of the battle. They were in the front lines. What happened many, many times with the enemy is as they're advancing, before they met each other and clashed, the enemy would send thousands of arrows flying into the advancing army. These Romans were very skilled in warfare. They would stamp down their shields, overlap them, and crouch down. And the arrows would come, not hitting anyone. That was protection. We are told to hold up the shield of faith. We have to understand what faith does. Now, this is Jesus talking to his disciples. Have faith in God, Jesus answered. I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. There's another place where it says something having faith as small as a mustard seed. I sometimes feel sorrowful that my faith is so small, smaller than that little tiny mustard seed. And yet in the small, small faith that I have, I believe in the Lord and in His power. Faith in God. Faith is a demonstration of belief. Scripture says, for in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith. From first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. That's Romans 1:17. The righteous live by faith. Scripture also says, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words. This is Paul. But with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. That's 1 Corinthians 2, 4-5. Our faith rests on God's power. Ask God to remove doubt from you, from your heart, from your mind, and increase your faith. That's part of our armor, the shield of faith. And through faith in God's power, we will be able to quench and neutralize the evil one's flaming arrows using the shield of faith. The fifth piece of armor is in verse 17. The helmet of salvation. The Roman soldier never went into battle without his helmet. It protected his head from broad sword attacks and also flaming arrows, if any of them got through. It was made of a thick leather and it was covered with beaten metal. Our soldiers today wear a helmet too in battle, that Kevlar protected one. The helmet we are to wear is related to salvation. Satan's blows are aimed at the believer's security and assurance in Christ. The devil attacks us with discouragement and doubt. He calls to mind our failures, our sins, even our physical weaknesses. Oh, I can't do that. Oh, I can't do that. Oh, I can't read the word today. I'm too tired. Oh, I can't do service for the Lord. Whatever seems negative in our lives is emphasized. We begin to doubt that our Father in heaven loves us and cares for us. Now, if we distrust our cause, or if we distrust our leader, or if we distrust our armor, we give Satan an advantage. We must resolve by God's grace not to yield to Satan. What we must take hold of and believe regarding salvation is that we are forever saved from condemnation. Let me say that again. What we must take hold of and believe regarding salvation is that we are forever saved from condemnation. It's Romans 8:1. Don't trust things that come our way that attack us. Satan is a deceiver. The sixth piece of armor is also in verse 17, the latter part. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Roman soldier carried a very short spear. Prior to that, it was, I guess you would call it a long sword. And it was made to cleave the enemy, stab the enemy. But the Romans developed a strategy in hand-to-hand combat of a short broadsword. Now, the Spirit dwells in us. He brings truth to our mind. He teaches us about God's Word and brings it to remembrance. The Bible is God's Word. It is perfect. And it offers endless blessings and resources to the Christian soldier. Now, the Christian who does not know God's Word well will not be able to use it well. Years ago, when I was a young boy, I took martial arts from several masters. One of them, a Chinese couple, after I advanced far enough, they wanted me to take sword training, and I did. Now, the Chinese sword is a long, thin, bladed weapon. When I first began, I was so clumsy and awkward, you know, as the saying goes, I couldn't fight my way out of a paper bag. I wasn't skilled at all. With training and practice, I became very, very skilled. I used to go out and perform in front of crowds with this sword play. That's how we are to be. We're to take up the Word of God. That's the sword of the Spirit that we have in us. And it is a very, very powerful weapon. Do you remember in Revelation when Jesus returns on a white horse? What did he have coming out of his mouth? The sword of the Word of God. The seventh piece of armor is in verse 18. Now, some think that this shouldn't be included in the armor of God, you know, as a true weapon, but I couldn't disagree more. The seventh piece of armor, G, is prayer. Prayer is the lifeline to our guard, to our Lord and Savior, to the Father. Every prophet of God, every man and woman of God, the apostles, even Jesus prayed to the Father. It says we are to pray on all occasions. What does that mean? Anytime, anywhere, under any circumstances, we are to pray. We are to offer up all kinds of prayers. Not repetition. Not every day, oh Lord, protect me. Oh Lord, protect me. Oh Lord, protect me. No, we pray for everything. Pray for our neighbors. Pray for everyone here. Pray for our children. Pray for those who are not saved yet. Pray for outreach. You know, this is offering up prayers, all kinds of prayers. It also says we are to be alert when we pray. Always praying for fellow believers. Myself, without prayer, I find myself lost. I get up in the morning. If I do not pray, I feel empty. I feel disconnected. You know, it's like failing to call a friend when you're in need. Or it's like a soldier who's in a battle and he loses contact with his superiors. You go on for a day, 2 days, 3 days, you're lost. If we don't pray every day, on all occasions, at all times, for everything, we lose contact with our superior. Prayer is vital to our well-being. Well, you know, we're coming to a close. We have looked at God's strategy for the Christian soldier that will enable you and I to stand strong. We examined two tactics in God's strategy. Tactic one, know who and what you are fighting against. A, we fight against the devil, first and foremost. B, we fight against spiritual evil in the nations and peoples of this world. And C, be aware of the nature of the devil. And in tactic two, how to protect yourself with the belt of truth around your waist. B, with the breastplate of righteousness. C, with feet fitted with shoes that enable you to be ready. D, with the shield of faith. E, with the helmet of salvation. F, with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And G, with prayer. Now, we all know and we've all faced great spiritual challenges. This will continue until either the Lord takes us home or we die and go to be with the Lord. Believers will be attacked. And you and I must put on God's full armor. In His strength, by faith, we must stand. One final thing to remember in all of this, and it gives us courage. There is no danger that cannot be successfully met by the power of God. Let me say that again. There is no danger that cannot be successfully met by the power of God. Let's close in a word, prayer. Father, open our hearts, give our minds wisdom. May your word be firmly established in us. Protect us, Father, from the evil one. May each one of us, in our families and friends, take on the full armor of God and be aware of the attacks we experience. For we pray these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.